You're listening to New Churches Podcast, a production of Send Network on newchurches.com. We discuss all things church planting. If you're looking to take your next step toward multiplication, you're in the right place. newchurches.com provides relevant and reliable resources for church planters, church multipliers, and disciple makers. Our growing library features pastors, planters, and church leaders like Ed Stetzer, David Platt, Trillia Newbell, Christine Hoover, Dahati Lewis, Trevin Wax, and many others.
Welcome to another episode of the New Churches Podcast. My name is Noah Oldham, joined by Vance Pittman, president of Send Network, planter, author. This guy does it all because he does it for the kingdom. Vance, good to see you today, brother.
Noah, good to see you, man. You're always so kind. So did you work out today, CrossFit? You already got it in?
I did. If I'm breathing at noon, it's because I worked out already.
Let's go. I love it. I hadn't got mine in yet. Mine'll be this afternoon. But man, I can't tell you how excited I am about today's podcast in particular, because not only do we have a guest back on that we've had before with Josh, but we have a guy who is like a ninja, a Jedi,
yes,
a master in the field that we're going to be talking about. I've watched him on so we're going to be talking about social media, and I've watched him on social media with great envy, because I'm like, man, this guy just knows how to use this medium. So I can't wait to have this conversation today. I know he's filled with lots of information that he's going to pour out for us, wisdom, and this is going to be a lot of fun. So introduce him, Noah.
Yeah, Vance, you're speaking about none other than Josh Howerton, the senior pastor of Lake Point Church, which is a multi-site and multilingual church with six campuses in Dallas, Texas. For Lake Point, he's got degrees from Union University, Southern Seminary. He's pastored in Nashville, Tennessee. And now as a married man with three kids, he's leading his church, not only in person, but as you said, he has a great online platform where he's leading his church and he's leading so many of us. Josh, welcome back to the podcast.
Noah says it's a great online platform. That depends who you ask. that depends. Now, hey, quick clarification, because someone on social media will fact check you and say that I took credit for something I don't have. I attended Southern Seminary, but do not have a degree yet.
Oh, yet. I love the yet. We're looking That's future.
It. That's it. Right.
I like it. Appreciate the clarification, especially in recent days. That's very important. So we're glad you made that clarification.
There's a reason I said that. Yep.
Yeah.
Hey, there are so many reasons why this subject is important just in general, but social media is important for the new church, because a lot of times these days when somebody ventures out to plant a church, they think, hey, here's a new platform that I have in leadership, and it automatically transfers over to a social media platform that seems that everybody's grasping for these days. And so Josh, just right out of the gate here, social media can be a field full of landmines. What does it look like for you to lead well in social media?
Man, I have a lot of thoughts there. So first of all, I would say my engagement on social media has been a little bit R&D, like research and development. I'm learning and I'm making some mistakes, but I also think there are some things that I have kind of figured out. You know, number one is, man, I want to minimize the divisiveness as much as I can. We'll talk about that more later if we get a chance. But I will say for pastors, there are two unique things that I think social media does for you. Is number one, it gives people insight into you as a person and to your family, and helps people feel connected to you and actually be connected to you in a way that they previously couldn't. And obviously, man, relationship is the currency of pastoral ministry. And so regardless of your church size, like, man, not just giving people access and visibility into you, but being able to interact with church members. I do that probably a lot more than most guys at churches our size. And it's because I want people, you know, shepherds love sheep. And so that's great. The other thing that I would say is, and you know, we can double click on this if we need to, is it gives me a chance to where, like, man, my shepherding and Bible teaching isn't just for 40 minutes once a week. Our people are spending like dozens of hours in this place. And I kind of feel like it's leaving sheep to the wolves to go, man, I'm just not going to engage. And so, man, my philosophy, the reason I engage, especially on cultural issues, is because I want to have the conversation where my people are having it.
Yeah.
I don't want my pulpit to get hijacked by whatever is the current cultural issue. But I do feel like I need to help my people with those concepts. So let me have the conversation where they're having it. And social media is a good pastoral outlet in that regard.
Speaking of that, Josh, I want to ask you something specific that is about some things that you have posted recently. Two examples. And I want to know not about exactly what you said, but how do you get to this content? So you did something on proposed changes to the American marriage process.
Yeah.
And then you did one on young men. And just the format, how you did it, you know, with the swipe pages and the way you laid it out was so clean and so clear. But then like that content, is that content that you had in a sermon that you repurposed? Is that content that you wrote specific for a thought? Did it come out of a counseling session? What prompted that? How did that content, where'd that come from?
Well, usually, like I've got three or four that I'm working on right now in iPhone notes, and they're issues that people are talking about. And I'm like, okay, I need a couple weeks to formulate the best way to attack this thing. So that's usually how it works. Is I'll go, gender ideology, whatever it is,
yeah.
And I'll just have an iPhone note, and I'll start aggregating thoughts over the course of 2 weeks, and then I'll format it one morning. The proposed changes to the American marriage process. Honestly, man, like especially when I was at a church plant, I did a ton of premarital counseling. And we, Lake Point's reaching a ton of young adults. And I was like, man, people keep screwing this thing up. You know, it's like, it doesn't really fit in a sermon. But honestly, I bet you 70% of the young adults at Lake Point will see that post.
Yeah.
And so it's like, let me get it out there.
Yeah. I thought it was an excellent medium, the way you did it. I thought the response that you got was incredible. And I just thought it was a really clean format. I think if you hadn't seen it, go follow him on Instagram and check it out, Josh Howerton on Instagram, and you can see it, an example of what I'm talking about. But I thought it was just a great medium for you to address some current issues in a way that wasn't sermonic, but was very relevant. Like I look at my Instagram and like, if you want to know what sporting event I went to or what food I ate that day, that's pretty much what you get on mine. And I'm like, Josh is like slinging it, man. He's like, he's got game on here. So I was very impressed by that. It's really good.
Yeah. Josh, you mentioned in the last podcast we did together, you mentioned this thing called tri-perspectivalism, this prophet, priest, king difference. Where do you see yourself fall on that? And how do you see that helpful to how you engage with social media?
Well, first
of all, before you answer, let me just say this. You guys use too big of words, man. Y'all just use too big of words.
All right. So what Noah's talking about is this original to John Frame. And it's kind of like, man, the spiritual giftings of church leaders can broadly be categorized as prophet, priest, king. Prophets weep with us. This is very rough. Prophets declare truth. Priests kind of weep with those who weep. Kings lead structure systems. So let me just say, every pastor is called to the ministry of the word. And part of the ministry of the word is that the church in the culture is called to be, quote, a pillar and a buttress of the truth. And so, Bob Russell, OG Bob Russell, Pastor Bob Russell, he used to say the role of the church in the society is to be the immune system of the society.
Yeah.
And it's kind of like when, like the analogy is nobody has ever died of AIDS. AIDS kills no one. AIDS takes out the immune system. And once the immune system is down, you can die of anything. Yeah. Well, if Satan can get the church to be silent, well, then he's taken out the immune system and the society can die of any ideology that's destructive. Wow. So the role of the church in society is to be a pillar and a buttress of the truth and an immune system. And so in that regard, I just need to acknowledge Noah. Like I have always, like since high school, just gravitated towards worldview thinking and cultural analysis. It's just where my brain naturally goes. But everybody's called to that in some way, just because it's part of being a pastor.
That's really, really good.
Hey, Josh, let me just go ahead and say it. You need one of those little swipe teaching things about what you just said pertaining to the church being the immune system of society. Like,
man,
start that in your notes thing. Put that out there. That is gold, bro. That's really good. No joke. I mean, that gives a guy a reason to think about why these issues matter and why we need to speak about them. It's not political. It's about being the immune system of the culture. I think that's some gold.
Can I click on, let me click on something you just said, Vance, because there's some internal emotional and intellectual objections or resistances that most pastors are going to have to this kind of thing. Number one, they're going to, you know, they're going to go, man, I don't want to be political. Number two, man, when you speak to some of these issues, they're personal for people, man, gender, marriage, and sexuality. And it's like, dude, I want to love people. And it just sometimes it, what if somebody's feelings get hurt and I alienate? Let me just say a few things in this regard. So a pretty significant mental shift for me is, you know, Proverbs has that framework of wise, foolish, and evil people. And I feel like you can overlay that onto churches and cities. And I would kind of do it like this. Wise people are Christians submitted to the Lordship of Jesus with biblical convictions. That's wisdom. Fear the Lord. Foolish people are like, man, I'm submitted to the Lordship of Jesus. I just have some areas of my life thinking that are out of alignment with the word, and I just need it explained to me. And then evil people, I'd say, are people who are, they are rabidly committed to anti-biblical thoughts and convictions, and they evangelize people towards those anti-biblical thoughts and convictions. Here's what I would say is you want to have a ministry, and y'all can disagree with me. This is a little bit of how I think. You want to have a ministry that that edifies the wise, corrects the foolish, and I'm going to say something with a bit of an edge to it, drives away the evil.
Mm.
Like I used to, let me tell you something I used to do is I used to sit down and every sermon, it was a misapplication, highlighting that word, a misapplication of some Keller frameworks, a misapplication. And I used to sit down with every single sermon and be thinking about the dude that just hates Christianity and hates church, that kind of thing. And I would write the whole sermon with that guy in mind. And what I was doing is prioritizing the feelings of the evil over the needs of the wise. And
wow.
my people were not getting, I wasn't building strong Christians because watch this, if you baby Christians, you're going to get baby Christians.
Wow.
And that, what I came to this conviction, man, that dude that I'm obsessing over, you know, outside of a miracle, which happens, I'm not going to win that guy anyway. And I'm not giving my people and my families what they need to grow into the fullness of biblical convictions. And I had to shift some thinking there. I will say one other thing on this regard. I used to only have like one Bible verse in my head when it came to engaging in cultural issues, specifically on social media, is, man, my job is to love your neighbor. Let me just say, that's a big deal. Top two, love your neighbor. But like, man, but pastors are also commanded by the New Testament to destroy arguments and every pretense that sets itself up against the knowledge of God. And hey, I'm supposed to both love people and destroy arguments. And some people, out of a good desire to love people, they're too, let me just say it, like maybe cowardly to ever destroy an argument. And then let me also say this. Some people are just kind of jerks and they love destroying arguments. And they're constantly hurting people in the way that they destroy the arguments. So what I'm trying to do on social media is at the same time, destroy arguments and love people.
Josh, I think what you just said is absolute pure gold for pastors. Man. Those two rails, I think I've never heard anybody articulate it the way you just did. And honestly, it's one of the things I've been giving you the business a little bit about your social media prowess, but it's one of the things, no joke, that I've really grown to respect about you because you're one of those, you know, young mega church pastors, big platform. A lot of people could criticize, but man, you take on some issues on social media in a way. And I didn't know why, but now that I understand, hearing you unpack those two rails,
that's why.
I understand what you're thinking. You're trying to destroy those arguments that are opposing the knowledge of God and anti-biblical convictions. And what I love about the way you do it on social media, it's one thing to preach that in your church. I call that the stump speech. You're preaching to the people that are amening you and they're agreeing with you. When you do this on social media, you're taking it outside the party, if you will, and engaging in this conversation in the public square and taking those arguments outside and engaging with people. I just think you do it masterfully. But I'm sure, Josh, in doing that, you've made some mistakes. What are some lessons you've learned from some mistakes?
Man, I for sure have made some mistakes, you know, golly, you know, where words are many, sin is not absent, Proverbs. Man, I do think there's a reason that I mentioned earlier that like I'll take a few weeks a lot of times when I've got this like a culturally sensitive issue, because I have made mistakes in the past where I had a thought during a timeout of a Bengals game. Go Bengals. And I just like fire off a tweet. And then I'm like, oh, dang, dude, I didn't think about that angle. Or what about that? Or, and then you just look like an idiot. And honestly, you were an idiot. And so, you know, so I would just say that's one. That's definitely one. Man, over calibrating to fear of the mob. Has, I think that that at times has been a mistake, or under calibrating the effect that drawing or attracting a mob, you know, could have on your people that they did not ask for. I will say I've learned that like getting mobbed online is kind of getting attacked by snowballs. It's like when it first happens, you're like, ah. And then when it's done, you realize, oh, that actually didn't hurt me that much. You know, it's, you know, I just, you have to be wise. You got to be thoughtful, you know, and think about it from every angle.
Yeah.
That's all I got.
You have expanded your ministry reach on social media. I know that at least in this podcast, because I heard about you first. You posted some fire post about a cultural issue that I cared about. It was like, he said that really well. Someone shared it with me. They're like, hey, you need to know this guy. And that's how I started following you. I'm sure I'm not the only person. And so how have you seen social media expand your ministry influence in good ways and maybe even in some negative ways?
Well, I mean, you know, so the positive is, man, what I hope, okay, actually, this is really important. Here's another key moment in me choosing how I was going to relate to social media. When Roe got overturned, I posted this deal on some abortion myths, and I just did like, you know, myth data. The pushback online was so aggressive that I took it down after like 5 minutes, and I was like, I can't ask my people to kind of go through that. Then I had these two teenagers from my church reach out to me and go, hey, could you please send us that? And here's what they said. They're like, man, we believe like what you say, because we think that's what God wants us to believe, but no one will tell us why we should believe it. Mm-hmm. And you were the only one that would do that for us. And I may get emotional talking about it, but like what I would say is, don't ask the teenagers in your church to be more courageous than their pastor.
Wow. Like,
something that I would say, Vince, is, man, I do know that sometimes guys really can veer into, hey, that's a stump speech. You're talking about this, maybe a conservative issue in your conservative church. And I agree with what Vance said. I just think there's another wrinkle to what Vance said. Is that maybe a stump speech for everybody in your church over a certain age, but everybody in your church under a certain age needs True. To hear their pastor say that Right. thing, because everyone else in their entire life is screaming at them a contra-biblical ideology.
Yes.
So as far as like how it's expanded reach, I think one, especially like my generation and down in my church, like honestly, my thing is, I don't want to ask you to walk into your workplace and be more courageous than me. So let me help you think through this issue through a biblical lens. Two, I do want to help pastors. A lot of guys will just be like, hey man, thank you. Like, I know I need to talk about this thing, but I didn't know how. And you kind of gave me a framework for how to talk about it. So I think that's been helpful. And then, you know, the negative is, you know, it's like that thing of, This is a demeaning analogy, and I hate it's a demeaning analogy. I don't want it to be that way. But it's the best one I got off the top of my head. Is like, man, you know, it's kind of like bigger lights attract bigger bugs. You know, it's like when you have a larger reach, like people kind of start marking you as an enemy, and people attack enemies, you know, so that happens.
Yeah. Vance, you're pretty active on social media. You made some jokes about sports, what sports you've watched or what food you've eaten. But there are moments that I've seen you say important things that are from your heart. And you get quoted a lot on social media. And so I just would love to hear from both of you. Do either of you have a social media policy? Like the amount of time you spend, the amount of attention you give after you post, anything and everything that might be helpful for our listeners?
Josh, you're the guest. I'll let you go first.
All right. Okay. A few things. I regulate my time personally, not via a policy. A few policies I do have is our social team is on auto. It's on autopilot. They delete any comment. Disagreement is okay. Disrespect is not. And I think that's really important. Anything that crosses the line to disrespect, it's, hey, man, that's totally gone. I think that's important because that if you don't do that, you're going to get more of what you tolerate. And so I think that's really important. And then I have three or four people that I've deputized just to tell me like, hey, dude, I need you to tell me if like I didn't say that in the best way. Hey, man, tell me if I caught. And they have done that before. And so I do think that's really important. And then my last thing I just say is, man, my content, I just want to be straightforward with things that are true. My tone, I'm commanded by the scriptures to quote, correcting opponents with gentleness and respect. And so, man, the tone, even people I interact with in the comments, I really try hard for it to be gentleness and respect.
That's really good. For me, Noah, mine's really around probably, it's really, I wouldn't call it a policy, but I do have some principles around three words. First is activity. And what I mean by that is I've limited myself to two platforms. So I'm on Instagram and I'm on Twitter. Now, it doesn't mean that I'll always use those two. If another one I thought was more valuable, I would replace one. I'm just not going to go beyond two because for me, it's too daunting. So I've limited myself to two platforms. I'm on Instagram and Twitter. Secondly, I have accountability. I have three other people that have all my logins. So yep. I know at any moment they can get in and see any comment, any direct message. And I don't know when they're going to get in. I just know that they get in. So I know that because the DM thing for me has opened up a world of danger to my flesh propensities that is not healthy. And so I just have offered some people invitations into my world of social media so that I'm not the only one who can get into my accounts. And the third would be, so activity, accountability. The third is access. And by that, I mean, I have a screen limit on mine that's 20 minutes a day. And then it locks me out and only my wife and a guy on my team can let me back in. And I only get back in if there's things that I'm traveling doing and I need to have something to say or whatever. But I got 20 minutes a day because it's a time waster for me. So I can get sucked into it and just sit there for a while. And I'm not saying everybody needs to do that, but for my flesh propensity, those are some things that I needed to put in place.
Dude, I'll just highlight something Vance just said. If you are a pastor, you are insane if other people don't have your logins to view your private message. You are insane.
Yeah.
If for no other reason, then that protects you from an accusation.
That's right.
So you are crazy if somebody doesn't have that.
Guys, this is gold. I know so many people are going to be so helped by this episode. Josh, thank you again for just loaning us your time, joining us for this podcast episode. We're praying that God continue to multiply your influence both online and in person as in your church as you lead them to continue to plant churches. Thanks for being with us.
Yeah, thanks, man.
You've been listening to the New Churches Podcast, brought to you by Send Network. If you like what you heard, take a few minutes to rate and review us or share this episode with a friend. It's the best way to show your support. To find more reliable resources to start your new church well, visit newchurches.com.